My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. I've said it before, and all being well, I'll say it again. Welcome to My Music. The usual four contestants are ready, willing, able, and amazingly well preserved. They're John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norton. John, I thought I'd greet you this week with a sort of fanfare, a bit of bold brass playing. Where did I find it?
It's old Dvorak.
Yes, it is.
His Eighth Symphony, yes. G Major Symphony.
From the last movement of
From
Dvorak.
From the last movement, yes. Dvorak. Wonderful piece, Eight. Wonderful piece.
Yeah. Frank, for you, some singing, or rather not so much singing as reciting this is. The question is not so much, is it well done? The question is, who's doing it?
To live for today and to love for tomorrow is the wisdom of a fool. Because tomorrow is promised to no one. You see, love is that wonderful thing that the whole wide world needs plenty of. And if you think for 1 minute that you can live without it, then you're only fooling yourself. Listen, please. I'd like to tell you something that happened to me just the other day.
Yuck. It's Jones the poet.
Jones the poet. Who Jones, please?
Tommy. Tom Jones.
Let's see if you're right. This is the same person.
You don't have to be beautiful to turn me on.
Tom Jones.
Don't know which one is better, really, isn't it?
Ian, over to you. The world seems to have discovered opera in about 1600 and then all over again in the 1990s. Certainly there's been a terrific opera boom, hasn't there, among the general listening public. And who could be surprised with such magnificence as this?
Yes, how about that?
Who and what?
I must say, being, I suppose, very insular, I still prefer Dame Eva Turner.
Yes. Who and what was that?
That was In Questa Regia from Puccini's Turandot.
Yes. Did you get the singers?
Not... I suspect... Pavarotti was the...
No, the other one. The other one.
Is it Gwyneth?
No, it wasn't. No, it was Placido Domingo and Katia Ricciarelli was the other one in Questa Regia. But you got your mark.
Dennis, if you're going to prompt him, do get it right.
No. I told him to round up the usual suspect, you see. And,
Well, Dennis, it's your turn. That was Philip McCann playing what on the what, Dennis?
I, I don't know. I hope I offend as many people as possible. I always find something vaguely ridiculous about hunting and when they foregather and go, you know. Well, that's something that in the days of Variety was a real crowd pleaser. Always the post horn gallop played on the post horn. Jimmy Edwards used to do it, get a storming finish on it, and put the thing down and say, "It's given me a splitting headache."
Hunting is the post nothing. Horn
on the post coach, not hunting.
Yep. Yeah, I know, but they're all singing tentivy. It's all part of.
But they got it wrong.
Yeah,
well, they should have said broadstairs.
But those words, Frank Dobb, Dennis, tentivy. What part of speech is that, and what does it mean? Anybody know?
I've always taken it to be a kind of land-based equivalent of full speed ahead, because everything does go full speed ahead after. Do you remember another Variety act called Dave Willis, who used to with a men's choir like that one we just heard? They used to sing. Denny Willis. Denny Willis was his son.
That's right. It was Denny who did it.
Yes, and it called "The Fox Has Left Its Lair." Yes.
Well, I looked it up.
And he used to say when he came in wrong, he would say, "Oh, I'm so sorry."
I looked up tantivy, which is a noun, an adjective, an adverb, and an intransitive verb, which is not bad for one word. Mm-hmm. It actually means full gallop, a hunting cry, or a high church Tory. Says the Oxford Dictionary. What oddments of musical knowledge one does pick up, to be sure, especially if one is a quizmaster, as one is. I was delighted when, half watching television through dozing eyes the other afternoon, to hear a Hollywood film company's musical logo that went like this. I thought John might like that. Another piece of musical knowledge I picked up, John, concerns Mozart's Opus 3, or K3. He dedicated it to the mother of 15 children. Any idea who she was? Based, perhaps, on where Mozart himself was at the time of his third composition.
Round about K3, I think he was in London.
Yes, he was.
But I know he dedicated, I think it's K8, to some duchess that he'd met.
No, this is better than the duchess.
Well, he dedicated K10 to the Queen.
Yes, try that.
Well, it's not K3, I don't think.
No, a K3 was an allegro for piano dedicated to Queen...
Which Queen would it have been?
KT.
1764.
Queen Charlotte. Yeah.
Queen Charlotte.
Wife of George the...
Just about to invent a hospital.
Mm-hmm. Wife of George the Third, she was. Frank, once in my school days, I stood up nervously in class to read aloud from some book, and I still remember the laugh when I read out, quite seriously, "Ringing the bell, she summoned one of the domesticks."
Oh, lovely, though.
It's very unfair.
They were all right for you when you were a child.
Yeah. Anyway, domesticks...
Really quite recent years on my music, on my word. I referred to hyperbole.
Oh, yes.
Exaggerated.
Easily done as well.
It's one of those words that I've read but never heard anybody say.
Yeah.
H-Y-P-E-R-B-O-L-E.
Yes.
Hyperbole.
I know somebody who used to talk about somebody being underfed when it meant underfed.
Yeah. little red berries. Yes. I've called until about last week at home cotton Easter. C-O-T-O-N E-A-S-T-E-R. Yes.
Today one sees on menus something called sundried tomatoes.
Yes.
The Hyper Bowl is where the Washington Redskins play, I think, isn't it?
What was the question again?
I was saying, Frank, domestics, servants, maids, where will I go to find out about Miss Jessel, Peter Quint, and poor Mrs. Groves?
Well, you have to go to Henry James.
Yes. Which?
It's a ghost story. And two of those are dead, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
The nasties, the two nasties are dead. And it's The Turn of the Screw.
Yes. Set to music by?
Yeah. Oh, yes, Benjamin Britten. Yes. Who else?
A Britten opera, yes.
I thought you knew that. I don't know why you asked.
Ian, this question is literary with musical connections. I'd like to know if it's true or false, please. Quote, "The man who wrote the line, 'His form and face, his manly grace,' is the same man who wrote, 'It is never difficult to distinguish between a Scotsman with a grievance and a ray of sunshine.'"
Yes, I would think the answer is yes. I think it's probably the same man who wrote about a golfer who missed a putt on the 18th green and said that he was put off by an uproar of butterflies in a nearby field.
That would be he, I think.
P.G. Woodhouse.
P.G. Woodhouse, yes, in the lyrics of Bill. Dennis, a striking line from a popular song of ages ago, in other words, of our period. A poem by Kipling, "While Shadows Go Rippling By." Can you place
well,
that?
Well, that's definitely our period, isn't it? That's not... That's not rap
about...
by any means, is it? No.
There
may be a tree, robins and roses.
Yeah, robins and roses, that's right, yeah, it was.
Or you say tomato.
A little bit, yes. All these editions of my music, well over 500 of them, daunting thought. How well do you remember them, I wonder, from one week's end to another? So we'll find out. Can any of you name the song your partner sang in last week's edition of my music? John, what did Frank sing last week? Last week's edition.
Is it Delible?
No, it's strictly Delible.
Frank, what did John sing?
Oh, you sang my favourite. I wonder... I didn't know the title of it. I Wonder, I Wonder.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I wonder as I wonder.
Ian, what did Dennis sing?
Dennis, this is etched on my memory, because when you were going to be following it with a quiet little romantic song and you hear the offering of my partner here beforehand and you think, I'm on a hiding to nothing here. And it was a song about a vest that this man wore, and I can't remember whether it was his wife or his mother, kept repairing it, and finally she said... If you go out with it like this, everyone will see your dickie. Meaning the celluloid dickie, of course, on his shirt front. And I thought, yes, a little Michael Head song called Limehouse Reach is going to come very well after that.
Well, that it right? was I Shan't Mend Your Waistcoat Anymore. That's
yes,
right.
Yes, it's Shan't Mend Your Waistcoat Anymore, yeah. Well, you'll have to walk about with your dickie sticking out because I can't hear you.
Before he told you, Dennis, were you remembering what Ian sang last week?
I was trying to. I know it was a song that an
he just mentioned it.
Oh, well. He did.
You weren't listening.
Oh, last week, yes.
Yeah, you weren't listening.
Yes, yes. It was a beautiful little song about...
wasn't it?
Something beach. But no, yeah. It was Limehouse Reach, yeah. Wasn't it?
Has anybody come up with what Frank sang? Do you remember Frank yourself? You probably don't.
No, I don't know.
Dream. It's called Dream.
How's that go?
You're feeling more... Oh, no.
Dream lover.
No, no, not that one, no. I'm rather partial to the key of E minor. John, I've put together three bits of music in E minor, and I think you may be able to disentangle them. You ready? Here we go.
Elgar Cello Concerto, yes. Chopin Prelude in E minor,
yep.
Brahms Fourth Symphony.
Yes, last start of the last movement.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Frank, for you, A minor. Just one piece, which starts like this. Thank you.
Piano concerto.
Yes.
By Greg.
Greg, yeah, by Greg. Ian, your key is good old rich G minor. Where might I find these G minor riches?
Oh, Lord.
First one's a little difficult, perhaps. You didn't hear the tune, you heard the ground bass.
Mm. Could you play it on the piano for me? Oh, it's Purcell.
Yes.
When I am laid in earth.
Yes. Then came...
Hmm?
And then came something you do know, I think.
Then came Elgar.
Yeah, that's right.
Not the serenade from... but it's Elgar, certainly.
Yes, good enough. Introduction and Allegro for strings.
Yes.
Start off.
And then Mozart, K40.
And then...
When you think you've found a woman, etc. When a lady...
Gentleman meets a lady down south.
No, it's normally known as when a maiden takes your fancy from Mozart's Seraglio.
Yes. Just in case anyone's writing in, it wasn't K40, it was Symphony No. 40, which is
of course,
not
yes. K40. I beg your pardon.
May I tell a Beecham story?
Oh, please.
He was conducting that work, that Brahms Fourth Symphony, and the orchestra didn't really like it when he conducted Brahms because he didn't know them quite as well as he thought he did. And he used to conduct in a rather circular beat, and it was rather difficult to tell where the first beat of the bar was. Anyhow, he was conducting this symphony, and he kept on lunging at the trombones, and they didn't play anything. They were reading the paper, as a matter of fact. And after he'd had about six goes at this, he stopped, and he said, "Trombones, why don't you play when I give you the entry?" And they said, "Well, Sir Thomas, this is the first movement, and we don't play until the last movement." He said, "I don't give a damn about that. If I give you an entry, play something." Otherwise, you make me look such a damn fool.
Very, very Beecham, yeah.
May I remind you, I don't quibbling about these things. I'm not hurt or anything like that. But it's, what, the 25th series, this one, or something?
Yes, something
and like I that. Haven't yet been able to do my joke about Elgar.
Oh.
It's the first series that I haven't done my Elgar joke. Elgar is the Spanish for the railway station. Thank you very much.
Now you know why we forgot to ask him to tell it again, don't you? Dennis, your key is B minor. I don't know if you knew that, but it is. Can you identify something just from this introductory bit?
Summertime.
Summertime,
yes.
Thank you.
I didn't get it till way well into it, it started to sound Gershwin-y. Yeah?
Yeah. I wonder if any member of the audience can name the composer of this C minor opening.
Rachmaninoff.
Yes, thank you. Rachmaninoff, second piano concerto.
How do you know that? Talking music to these people who know about it.
It's amazing how little you need to hear of a song lyric in order to identify the song. John, much heard in my student days, not so much now. Three words from an opera. And are terrible.
They laugh and are glad and are terrible.
Yes, it's from...
It's the immoral hour, it was usually called. And Rutland Boughton, the Immortal Hour.
The Immortal Hour, Rutland Boughton.
And the main part was sung by a lady who then became a very, very famous actress, Gwen Franklin Davis.
Yes, yes.
And I interviewed her when she was 99. And we got talking about a lot of things, and we got even talking about death. And I said, are you nervous about death? And she said, "Well, I'm always nervous about first nights."
Lovely lady. Wonderful. Well, words from songs. Frank, where can I find... Windmill End.
To do.
I can give you a clue on the piano.
Something at the end of the closing of the windmill. Do you?
Do you know it? Your partner knows it.
Yeah. Have you heard that before?
No, I don't. But Ian knows it.
Slow Train.
Yes, it's slow the last train. Of the stations mentioned. The Beeching Axe song that Flanders and Swan did, called Slow Train. Yeah. Windmill End.
I once went through that whole song trying to find them all, and I found all but two, and I couldn't. There were two I still couldn't find.
Yeah. Mm. I didn't find any, did I?
No.
Ian, you'd better know this, or answer for the consequences. The rank is but the guinea's stamp.
Yes, I would not get past the border again if I didn't know the answer to that.
It is a famous song by Robert Burns. For all that and all that, our toils obscure and all that, the rank is but the guinea stamp, the man's the gowd for all that.
Yes, that's very good. Right. Dennis, two words for you. Signor Caruso.
Told me I ought to do so.
Yes, that's right. From
the opera, I want to sing in opera sung by Wilkie Bard.
I've got that kind of voice, yes. I wonder if some bright spark in the audience can pipe up with the last line of this song. Then I set my sails and sail away, no pirate air was cooler. For where'er I go, I fear no foe. Thank you, madam. On the good ship, Yakihiki Doola.
Apparently, there is a Liverpool version of that that goes, for where'er I go, I take my po and a little bit of tissue paper.
That's spoiled the party. Yes.
You wouldn't.
We're back in the cultural
room. Yes,
groove.
Yes.
You wouldn't have been allowed to say that in Tony Shrine's days, would you? Nostalgia is the name of the game from here on. Four old songs, or five to be precise, because I'm going to choose one to play on the piano. Frank, let us get out and get under the moon together. Right.
When you're alone, any old night, and you're feeling out of tune, pick up your hat, close up your flat, get out and get under the moon. I'm telling you, underneath the bright, silvery light, you'll be feeling better soon. Pick up your hat, close up your flat, get out and get under the moon. Look! Look, look at the stars above. Look, look, look at those sweeties, love. Oh, boy, give me a night in June. I mean it, all over now, any old night, when you're feeling out of tune. Pick up your hat, close up your flat, get out and get under the moon, that silly old moon.
John Amis is always welcome in France, where they greet him with the words, "Ah, voici le souffleur," they say. But I wonder what they say of you in Russia, John, or will, after this few bars of Borodin.
This is my beloved.
Dennis's life would have been infinitely poorer if R.P. Weston and Bert Lee hadn't written a comic song a day.
All of our lives would have been.
The songs weren't all memorable, Dennis, were they? But this one, I think, was from 1934.
Two little lambs were in a field of clover. A he-lamb and a she-lamb, I'll explain. The she-lamb gave the he-lamb a once-over. Then tenderly she bleated this refrain. Will you love me when I'm mutton, as you do now I am lamb? Ba-ba, black sheep, tell me do.
Will you love me when I'm mutton, like a true and faithful ram? Or will you tell me I'm too tough to chew, when my one and four a pound is not so tender, and there's no wool left upon my one and three? When the butcher sells your kidneys, love, for fourpence, oh, tell him that your heart is still for me. They were very fond of it. They actually wrote another song about baked sheep's hearts. It's obviously a favourite dish of theirs.
Oh, yes. There's a folk tune I enjoy playing called The Gentle Maiden, so I thought I'd give her a brief airing, after which Ian sings one of his own choice, but not quite such a gentle maiden as mine.
Suono che pedo per te, fama e durni, abbracciato no poco cu te. Amaria, Maria, quanto suono che pedo per te,
My silent neighbour Anne has been keeping the score. Who's won this week then? Ah, a victory for Dennis and Ian. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music with John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the programme was produced by Richard Edis.